represent me. The world is yours, disciple of the project, slash verbal murderer. Yeah, the world is yours, till the Philly bluntheads crack pump.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We pay tribute to 50 years of hip-hop and explore Wisconsin's influence on the genre and its culture. This is 1994's The World Is Yours by rapper Nas, remixed by rapper-producer Q-Tip, known as one of the greatest hip-hop songs of all time. We'll talk about it. Meanwhile, call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anthony Foster is an on-air host at Milwaukee's urban alternative station Hyphen and 88.9 from Radio Milwaukee, also a DJ in the Milwaukee area. Anthony, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I've been so looking forward to this conversation. What marks August 1973 as the start of the genre?
I've been looking forward to it as well. Thank you. Historically speaking, I mean, it's the day that hip-hop's birthday, if you will. A big party was had in the Bronx, Cool Herc. I mean, I wasn't there, of course, but this all went down on August 11th, 1973. And here we are today celebrating the 50th, or about to celebrate the 50th anniversary of this. I mean, it's been a part of my life for so long, which is ironic with me I turned 50 this year myself. So
a lot of symmetry.
Right. You know what I mean? Hey, we were born in a great time, right? Right.
We were.
It's been with me I can't remember a time not being involved with hip hop. My mom got me into it. She was into it. I mean, so it's a monumental time. I mean, it's just a lot of great things happening all over the world, as you can see if you're on the internet. Just great, great reunions of some of the great artists from history and the present, acknowledging this event. So it's just fantastic. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to be here.
So since that moment on a Bronx dance floor, how has hip hop then spread around the country, around the world? What helped it grow?
It's obviously a lot of different steps and things that have happened in the past 50 years to get us where we are today. But I always think of Run DMC. Hmm. I mean, I think that was the first time we had seen, or at least me, you know, and people all over the world, all over the country, had seen what this looked like. These, you know, Run and DMC, Jam Master Jay kind of dressed similarly, and the whole visual of it, I think, is what really took it to the next level. They performed at Live Aid back in 1985.
Yes.
So these, these events gave it a face, if you will. I mean, it was obviously artists and records before them, but I think that really is what took it to the stratosphere as far as the global phenomenon that it is today, you know.
Help us untangle this. You know, platforms like iTunes and Spotify, they lump hip hop and rap together into a single genre of music. But some say rap is an element of hip hop. What sets rap and hip hop apart?
I've always heard, I believe it was KRS-One, the legend KRS-One, who said that rap is what you do. Hip hop is how you live, you know. So I agree. So to echo what you said, it's one aspect of it. But hip hop is a lifestyle, if you will. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy to say it, but that is literally what it is. It's the way you move, the way you talk, where you go, the way you engage with others. I think it's more of a lifestyle thing, and you don't have to rap per se to be a part of the hip hop community. Because if that was the case, if everybody was out here rapping, who knows what that would entail. But I definitely feel like it's a lifestyle choice, the way you dress, the way some of the music you listen to. It's a lifestyle thing more than just the actual act of rapping or breakdancing or graffiti or DJing or those other elements of hip hop.
talking about the 50th anniversary of hip hop with DJ and on-air host Anthony Foster with us. Has shows on the urban alternative station Hyphen and 88.9 from Radio Milwaukee. You can join in at any point, calling with a question or comments on hip hop, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Well, Anthony, let's play a little more of The World Is Yours by Nas.
Let's do it.
God bless your life. To my people's the wild queens, God bless your life. I trick we box on crazy aiming guns and all my baby pictures. Beef with housing police, release scriptures that's maybe Hitler's. Yet I'm the mal money getting style, rolling foul. The versatile honey sticking wild, golden child dwelling in the rotten apple. You get tackled, a caught by the devil's lasso.
So, Anthony, there, the lyrics talk about living in the rotten apple, referring to growing up in New York City in the 90s. What did Nas represent in his music at that time?
For me personally, Nas is, I would definitely say, my favorite rapper because it, he tells the story of real vivid imagery is what a lot of rappers portray, because I mean I wasn't living in New York in 1994 to know what it was like, but I mean artists like Nas can paint that portrait for you. And Nas is real smart, real thoughtful, it's deeper than just some of the early rap, Broken Glass Everywhere, like it's like really deep, in-depth thinking man's hip hop is what I always like to refer to Nas as. And Nas is still making albums today, oddly enough. He's turning 50 this year as well, but he just dropped a project like a month ago. So, and it's still pertinent, relevant information. And for me personally, I just love Nas's ability to tell a story in a unique way with his own voice. His father was a musician, and you could kind of feel that in some of the way some of the songs that he created came on.
I want to pick up on something you said there, because Nas has called on the elder statesman of hip hop to follow his lead on delivering a high level of music. And I just wonder about how do the artists evolve and find their own sound? And then what influence do these pioneers have, like Nas, on the music today?
It's often been called a younger person's game. And, if you 40 years old out here right now and you're rapping, I mean, it's kind of like you kind of get the side eye. It's kind of frowned upon to some degree, but I 100% agree with Nas. I think a 40 year old man or woman might have a perspective on the world that could actually, that's actually important. It's not, I mean, sure, you won't be necessarily rapping about going to the grocery store or, having to get your knee replaced or something like this, those type of issues. But I think these artists definitely do have something to say. And there's a lot of proof out there that would work. I mean, Jay-Z is definitely an older gentleman. He could drop an album tomorrow and we would all be there to listen to it and probably love it, and I think, it was Run DMC just reunited. It was a big festival, a big Rock the Bells festival in New York over the weekend. Run DMC, I'm sure they could put out music that would resonate with people today. And Queen Latifah, she's still, she has television. She's still on TV and an actress and a great singer. If she dropped a rap album tomorrow, I think a lot of people would gravitate to it. So, I think that those people have something to say, and I would love to hear it personally. I mean, how they navigate the world today, what it's like to be a musician in their older years. I think they have a lot of things to offer, maybe some of the streaming services and things like that. Maybe that might not be a huge seller, but I think these people have fan bases and we would love to hear what they have to say in 2023.
We get a Wisconsin spin on a half century of the hip hop genre with Hyphen's Anthony Foster at Milwaukee's Urban Alternative Station. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. This is Electric Relaxation from A Tribe Called Quest. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Relax yourself, girl, be set to air. 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 Money check. hear me? Yeah. Here we go, turn it up, let's start. From block to block, we're snatching hearts and jacking marks. And the punk police can't fake me and make me. We can have peace someday, G. But right now I got my mind set up. Looking down the barrel, I'm gonna get up. Cause it's time to make the payback back to my brothers on the block. Better stay strapped, black, and accept no substance.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Celebrating 50 years of hip hop, we explore this moment with a Wisconsin perspective. This is Holler If You Hear Me by the late rapper Tupac Shakur from his second album. And this album, released in 93, it landed 3 songs on the charts. Call in with a question or share along the way, 800-642-1234. Anthony Foster is an on-air host, account executive for the urban alternative station Hyphen and 88.9 from Radio Milwaukee. Anthony, Tupac, often considered one of the most influential rappers of all time, his murder in 96 still being investigated more than 25 years later. Does he live up to his legacy?
Oh, wow. I would definitely say yes. As I mentioned in the first segment, I am 50 years old, so I actually was around. I was actually alive and around when Tupac was here, obviously. I definitely think his legacy has lived on. The music, I think he really set a profile for artistry at his time. I mean, he started off as a dancer and with Digital Underground, and then he branched out there. And I remember me and my buddies listening to Tupac albums and just being like blown away that somebody had this level of skill and this kind of inflammatory nature and like real, like said a lot of things that a lot of people were thinking and wouldn't say at that point in time. But as he evolved as an artist, creating songs like Dear Mama and How Do You Want It, these songs that we still listen to today and still have relevance. And I think he showed that that you can have balance as a hip hop artist. You can have these controversial topics and these police, this brutality and things that are happening in the world, and also be an artist that can create these songs that we dance to and love, and his career going to prison and just the arc of his career, the different things that happened in his life, growing up, being born in prison, growing up with a mother who was a Black Panther, and just some of the controversial things. I mean, his life is so full of just so many different things that happened. I mean, I could literally think of 30 different Tupac instances, and the man only lived to be 25 years old. Mm. So I mean, when I was 25, I mean, I had an apartment on the east side. It was, I wasn't living like Tupac. So to answer your question, yes, I think his legacy definitely lives on. The music that was released after his death is actually just as good as some catalogs from artists that were alive at the time. So many
of his songs, as you mentioned, spoke of police brutality against Black mm-hmm. men and the oppression in Black neighborhoods. Do hip hop mm-hmm. lyrics, have they been used to mobilize and express the needs and concerns of the Black community? Has that changed, or what do you see there?
I definitely think so. I think back when Public Enemy first came on the scene, and we had bands like X-Clan and even Boogie Down Productions to some degree, celebrated a lot of the really Afrocentric portions of our background and those communities all over the world. You had A Tribe Called Quest with the Native Tongue posse, De La Soul, and just showing a lot of speaking on a lot of the deeper issues, more, the issues that aren't just surface issues in the Black community. So yeah, I definitely feel that was there in the beginning. I mean, you had people wearing African medallions as a fashion statement because we were so tapped into what was going on with us as a people. Today, and as it's evolved, I think that's still the case. I think there's definitely artists that speak to the younger generation in that way. Maybe not so much as back, quote unquote, back in my day, because it's all, I think hip hop is just relevant to you and what age you are. Mm-hmm. A 50-year-old man might look at it differently than a 22-year-old woman will. But I definitely think those artists are there for every generation of hip hop, and it's always front of mind with us no matter what type of hip hop you make, to speak to what the community is doing. The big rappers of today, they have songs where they address issues of the community, even though they might not be like as direct as a Public Enemy song. So, so I definitely feel that's always been running through hip hop's veins, to speak to some of the issues of the community, good, bad, and indifferent, to be honest.
Let's talk about the female pioneers. This is JJ Fad with Supersonic.
Supersonic motivating rhymes are creating. 80. And everybody knows that JJ Fad is devastating. We know you like us, girl, so you better get sterile. Cause we are the home chicks that are rocking your world. Supersonic.
Yes, Anthony, tell us about this all-female hip-hop group. Yeah, it takes us back, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. That is one of the, Kate, that is one of my favorite songs of all time. That's JJ Fad, Supersonic, and that was a big hit for them. And that's another thing, and I think that, of course, this is all genres of music, but with hip-hop, we have artists that have one song that they're known for. Some people call them one hit wonders. I call them one classic wonders, because that's exactly what that song is. But shout out to JJ Fad. They are still out on the road performing, and nine people out of 10 only know that song for them. So that just speaks to the importance of them as artists and how dope that song is, to be honest. But that was one of the first songs that I remember, the first times I ever remember hearing women rappers. They were discovered by Eazy-E from NWA, who's straight out of Compton album, just came out yesterday, 35 years ago, but I digress. Eazy-E discovered them, and so that, you know, at that point in time, Eazy-E, NWA, they were kings of hip-hop, and anything they touched was gold. And that's kind of how I the entire world came to discover JJ Fad. And the song is just so beautiful. It's just so simple. And the subject matter is from a woman's perspective. So it was just really, you know, obviously it's evolved a lot since then. We have tons of women rappers since then. And I think women rappers actually dominate rap right now. If you really, you know, to some extent, but JJ Fad was my first time hearing that. And of course it's, you know, it really showed that this is not just for men, and it's not just guys on the corner talking about what they're doing. It's actually a woman perspective here, and we've obviously evolved.
They
from
were
that.
Young, yes, yes, they were very so young.
Mm-hmm. And hip hop was it was not such a visual medium back then, so we just had the album cover and maybe a music video. You know, I remember I always remember this was pre videos. You would think, oh, it's which woman is this that's rapping right now? You see the three of them, and you're like, which one is rapping? And you never know until you see the video or see them in concert or something. So we've come a long way since then. But I really love the JJ Fad story, because, like I said, they have one song that they're known for, and they still performing in 2023, and the people still want that. So that just speaks to them. How important this hip hop thing is to people.
Talking about hip hop's influence on American culture, Anthony Foster, our guy, DJ and on air host for the urban alternative station Hyphen and 88.9 from Radio Milwaukee. You can join in 800-642-1234. So Anthony, this is British Nigerian hip hop artist Little Sims featuring Cleo Soul with Selfish.
And hate can never be friends. Don't rush everything in this divine turn. I peeped, you couldn't handle a woman in my kind of bar. Had to let you mature like some fine wine. Yeah, no validation, no applause. You don't have to prove you got it when you know it's yours. I don't want to feel disloyal for one interview you need, and you act brand new.
So, Anthony, Little Sims, born and raised in North London, how far reaching has the hip hop genre become after these decades?
Wow. It's definitely amazing to see. In UK, it's artists from all over the world, Kate, right now that have taken this hip hop thing. I'm sure they had a lot of the same influences that American hip hop artists have. But to hear them, to hear hip hop expanded all over the globe in the way some artists have created it and made their own, Little Sims is remarkable, and hip hop There was a time when, I mean, hip hop has always been a global phenomenon, but I think we're finally getting to the point now where these artists have created their own, and it's a lot more palatable, and we like it here in the States. There was an artist, Dizzy Rascal. He was one of the first UK rappers that I remember hearing, at least. Mm-hmm. And his music was just different. It didn't seem to have a lot of the same ethos in the boom and bap like a lot of rap had at that time. But when you listen to it now, it sounds great. But artists like Little Sim, she's a woman and she's born in the UK and has a unique take on hip hop and is taking over the world. I mean, it's phenomenal to hear her and some of the other artists. I mean, you have artists like Burna Boy who are hip hop related.
And so let's pause right there. Anthony Foster, on air host with Milwaukee's Urban Alternative Station Hyphen. Be part of the conversation, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent, marking hip-hop's 50th anniversary. Return to a Wisconsin take here. This is Milwaukee native Cuckoo Cal with My Projects from the early 2000s. Call in with a question, share a comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anthony Foster is a host at the Urban Alternative Station Hyphen from Radio Milwaukee. Stays with us. And let's bring in Rob Dees Franklin, board member of the Urban Community Arts Network in Madison, an activist, hip-hop mentor, and has performed with the likes of Nas, Eminem, and Common. Rob Dees, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. And we also have Fidel Verdine, who is co-executive director of True School, the Milwaukee nonprofit engaging and empowering youth through transformative arts and hip-hop culture. Fidel, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Fidel. Let's start with you. How strong is hip-hop culture in Wisconsin? Give us a read.
How strong is hip-hop culture on planet Earth, you said?
Well, how about here in Wisconsin? We are planet Earth sometimes.
Exactly my point. The capital of the planet right here in Wisconsin. We are, I think also, I just don't even look at it fragmented. It's just so global in a sense. Our perspective doesn't really limit us to think about it in the sense of like where we are at even right now, because of the moment and the excitement and the phenomenon that hip hop represents as a culture all across the planet. In Wisconsin, it's just as strong as it is in most places in America. If you want to, you know, just get right to it, it's just as strong as it is anywhere else. I'm talking New York, California, you name it.
Rob Dees, how much does hip hop represent Black culture today? Where are we at with it?
I think hip hop is Black culture. I mean, like, basically, like, it's the vibe and the pulse and the words of the people, and it's everywhere. It's inevitable. I mean, like, for example, you look at a movie like Transformers, and the entire soundtrack was hip hop. That's a mainstream movie, so that's a reflection of where it is and what it speaks of. So,
how about its, you know, its regional influences, its, you know, the beats and bringing into the fold influences of jazz and Latin and rock? How has that mingling with other genres of music influenced hip hop?
I think it definitely has. I mean, like, even if you look at, for example, the Midwest, you know, influence on hip hop, like, you talking about Motown, you talking about other record labels that have come through, all these acts, and the Midwest is just melting pot, and it's a reflection of that. So therefore, you hear it even in the modern expression of hip hop.
Fidel, True School, becoming a nonprofit in 2005 to work with youth in the Milwaukee area. What connects hip hop and youth empowerment?
Well, you know, it's like one and the same. It's synonymous. It's the same word. Hip hop is youth empowerment. And so the awesome thing that we have the opportunity to do is really uplift the spirit of relentlessness, of entrepreneurship, of collective collaboration, community impact, service, charity. We get a chance to uplift some of the core values that hip hop represents and sort of reinstill them where they may have been forgotten about or disconnected. So it's just really, it's about self-empowerment, self-determination, and hopefully we can give that to young people and we can give that to the communities and their families all in one, based on the fact that hip hop is such an encompassing culture. Everyone is included, everyone is invited, everyone is a part of it. As long as you bring your authentic self, you're welcome. And so the empowerment comes from within, and hip hop just has a way of bringing it out.
Rob Dees, how do you think school teachers can use hip hop in their curriculum in order to teach?
I mean, you can use it either way. I mean, like one of the programs that Urban Community Arts Network does works around STEM stuff. So it's like utilizing it in a way that can relate to kids, and using the curriculum in a way that they can dig and understand and take their own actually helps them, and I would say, to learn even better. So,
Anthony, what influence do you see hip hop culture having on youth today and young people?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's ubiquitous. I mean, the way we dress, as my man Rob Dees just said, the everywhere you look, it's in schools, it's just everywhere. And it's kind of great to see. It's in the Transformers movies, it's in the commercials, people's slang, some of the slang and people, some of the expressions people use. I think it's just become such a ubiquitous thing. We don't really realize how it's impacted us. Children are born completely immersed in hip hop, whereas some of us from back in the day, we had to dig into it a little more, but it's everywhere. It's right there for you in the grocery stores, the marketing campaigns, and it's actually a beautiful thing, to be honest. I'm glad to see it.
Fidel, I want to explore storytelling here, which can also have a deep impact on young people. There's this dean of Africana Studies at Berklee School of Music, Emmett Price III, written multiple books on Black music, and says that hip-hop lyrics have been used to mobilize and express the concerns of the Black community. Can you explain a little bit the impact of hip-hop lyrics?
Well, you know what's so awesome about that fact that you even cited a professor at Berklee is, you know, hip hop is totally invaded all the academic spaces because hip hop is a legacy, a continuum of the spoken language, word, rebellion that came before it. Hip hop is just an extension of the human rights, what some people call civil rights. The human rights international movement that happened in the 50s and the 60s before hip hop was birthed. It was, the premise was changing language, lifting consciousness in order to shift society towards a more civil and just place. And we're still on that path right now. Hip hop just extended the conversation. Hip hop was able to use elements and pieces of the conversation that came from the likes of The Last Poets and Stevie Wonder and Bob Marley. The legends and the icons that laid the foundation for what hip hop will become as a voice of, ultimately a voice of reason, a voice of balance, a voice of again, bringing a new light to society by not only pointing out what the issues and the responses to the issues were that was already happening in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s before hip hop. Hip hop just put it to a beat, turned it up a couple notches, added some graffiti, added some breakdancing, added some DJing, and it became a worldwide phenomenon that we have today.
Mm. Anthony, this may not surprise you as you were lifting up Nas earlier. Nas teaches a masterclass in hip-hop storytelling. And I think that's really interesting because of the pioneers, but also the fact that this is an art form in terms of the stories that these lyrics tell. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, that's amazing. And very apropos because Nas is definitely a next level storyteller. Like, you know, what we talked about earlier in the interview, he is a step beyond, you know, it's all about elevating and getting more creative. And Nas is definitely a creative. And I mean, you spoke a little bit ago about hip hop in the classroom. And I think nothing is better than learning from somebody like Nas. I mean, if you can memorize a song, that should be something that you can use in your classroom. And hip hop has expanded. I know Ninth Wonder, super producer Ninth Wonder, was teaching a class at a university. I believe KRS-One had a class at a university. So it makes total sense that somebody like Nas would be teaching a class on storytelling. It's a lot of storytelling is a huge part of hip hop and being able to convey some of the messages that's happening all over the world and make them relatable and palatable to somebody in Missouri or somebody in Nigeria or somebody in Switzerland. I mean, these are all universal stories, but told in an academic way. It's great. I mean, I think it should be more of that, honestly. If Nas was teaching a class here, I'd take it. I'd go. You know, so I mean, I think these are the griots. These are the storytellers of our generation. So it makes perfect sense.
Anthony Foster on the 50th anniversary of hip hop hyphen host DJ in the Milwaukee area. We also have artist and activist Rob Dees Franklin from Urban Community Arts Network in Madison and mentor Fidel Verdine, co-leader of True School in Milwaukee. You can join in on hip hop at the moment, 800-642-1234. Rob Dees, what are your earliest recollections of hip hop and how it became part of your life?
Oh, wow. I'll be completely honest, man. Like, I grew up as I'm a fat kid, so I grew up as that, but, you know, got picked on, whatever, all that stuff. But one thing that happened was, like, when hip hop really took off, there was a thing called a cipher. And being able to freestyle on a cipher and see people not look at you weird, but look at you like, oh, wow. You know, that's when I knew hip hop had me, at least. And it's been about that ever since. And it's almost, to me, hip hop is almost like a discipline. It's like a journey that you go on. So I've accepted the journey and keep walking the path.
Fidel, when did your journey begin with hip hop? What was that like?
The day I was born. I think that I came up this way. And you know, it's awesome. But I think I've been asked this question before and I can't even really pinpoint it. It was something that I think I was exposed to in my family, in the neighborhood, and music, even the message in the music, the art and iconography within music that I grew up around. It was just seamless in the way that hip hop was introduced as not only a music, but a movement. And I knew early that it would be in higher education, corporate America, in the museums, in the galleries. I knew that very, very, very early. I knew I would be using my own gifts, my own talents to help other people and expressing it through hip hop. And, you know, that's even before I even understood what the terminology meant and what, you know, before the world even understood what the terminology meant. And I think that's the great tipping point we're on now, is people understanding this phenomenon better. This thing that was once shunned and sort of put in a corner and maybe even discriminated against, not maybe, but totally discriminated against in certain areas, mm-hmm. is now being lifted up and amplify so people can get a better understanding of what this force represents.
Fidel Verdine, co-director of True School. We have a trio of Wisconsinites on this moment in hip-hop's half century of evolution. Hyphen's Anthony Foster is here. Rob Dees, activist and hip-hop mentor. And you can join in. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. This is the subway theme from the 1982 hip-hop film Wild Style. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
I'ma live forever. Music computers and robbers and looters and looters with shooters and shooters with rugers and shooters with rugers. CDs with my tutors and my tutors taught me a terrible miracle. You can lie, cheat, and still kill in America. Be celebrated like Captain America. Get on with it, let's get it. This Chris and Bentley, Halle and Lennox.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, exploring 50 years of hip-hop and contributions from Wisconsin's music orbit. This is Scientists and Engineers by Killer Mike, featuring Future, Andre 3000, and Aaron Allen Kane. Be part of this discussion. Call in with a question, 800-642-1234. Anthony Foster is a host at Hyphen from Radio Milwaukee. Rob Dees, Franklin, board member of Madison's Urban Community Arts Network, and Fidel Verdine here, co-executive director of True School in Milwaukee, empowering youth through hip-hop culture. Let's take a call now. Dan in Lone Rock. Dan, hi.
Hi. I got a couple of things here. I'm a white guy from southwest Wisconsin, living in the country. I grew up starting to listen to Public Enemy and NWA, also the Beastie Boys. But I didn't really, I remember like around that time reading that, like the biggest consumers of hip hop music, rap music were like suburban white youth. And, I didn't really feel like I connected with like, or understood what hip hop was about until, later in life. I made some kind of, wrong turns and, spent some time in prison. And connected with people that were using hip hop as like a tool for, like you guys said, storytelling, and also, you know, kind of expressing themselves in art and a way to feel free. And I guess I wanted to ask a little bit about, you know, what is, you know, there's a line, I think, between like cultural appropriation and participation.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, maybe if you could talk a little bit about like how to be, like if you're a consumer of hip hop, how to be responsible about that.
Oh, Dan, appreciate you calling in. Let's start with Rob Dees here. Rob, take it away.
For me, the biggest thing is that everyone has a story. And so as far as consuming, you know, like I think it's basically you consume what you identify with. Now, the key is like where a lot of things get slippery is like the overfeeding of something. So like, therefore, like there are so many options with the internet and there's so many things to listen to. But it's like, I think the biggest thing is the discernment. Like, What do you take from it, and what can you build from it? Not and build more in a positive manner, and not necessarily the negative stuff that comes with it. So, I think that would be the biggest thing. And then, what was the second part of the question?
Well, you know, just that cultural the line between cultural appropriation and participation. And it sounds like Dan really kind of evolved on that, but really wants your take on how that is as we consume hip hop music and culture.
Well, and it's funny to say that because I would think my biggest response would be like, there's a phrase that it says, just keep it real. And when I say that, you know, like hip hop is welcoming of everyone and everyone gets a chance to hear the stories and different stories. And it's like, as I said earlier, what you take from it, it just keep it real. What you take from it, what you get from it, rather not what you take from it, but what you get from it, because it's a giving thing. So I think the difference between appropriation and participation is just that honesty and understanding and respecting the culture and giving it its proper due, not just trying to capitalize from it. So
Fidel Verdine, what comes up for you here?
I think that's a great question, and I appreciate the gentleman for having that sort of thoughtfulness and in his own journey, because as the saying goes, it's bigger than hip hop. It's bigger than hip hop. So what he's saying is really it's a human factor. It doesn't matter if it's music, it don't matter if it's arts or sports or any sort of cultural expression. You want to have respect. You want to do the knowledge. And in hip hop, we call it doing the knowledge. You want to make sure that you have some familiarity, do some field research, go and listen to people, go in and study, and don't look at it only from a consumer standpoint. look at it from a research standpoint. Look at it from a level of anthropology, wanting to learn, wanting to understand. And I think that will always, always, always reward us, no matter what it is. Even if it's, you know, a language, another country we visit in, be humble and do some research, do the knowledge before you jump in head first. And people will respect that. People will understand that. And that's a given in hip hop. It's an open cipher. But as was stated a whole bunch of times already, you just got to be true to yourself. And that's piercingly obvious in hip hop when people are not true to themselves. Just like in life. Just like in life. It's bigger than hip hop. It's piercingly obvious. And it's uncomfortable for everybody. And so as long as you know, take some time with yourself and do that work, you're going to be good. And I think also hip hop is so universal in that way where, you know, if you come with respect and you contributing and not just trying to take or not just trying to exploit, you're always going to be welcome and it's always going to be a gift for you.
Anthony, what is your pitch to people as to why they should embrace hip hop and hip hop culture?
As far as a pitch would go, I mean, to be honest, it's been around for 50 years, obviously probably longer than that, but that's still, it's still a relatively newish thing to, in my opinion. I mean, it's still evolving. We have people who've grown up in it and are still a part of it right now. But as far as a pitch for hip hop, I think the music, point blank, full stop, the music is fantastic. You know what I mean? It all starts with the music. If the music is good, then we can expand from there. But I think it really goes to a feeling of just enjoying the music, at least for me. And then, you know, it adds all of these elements, education, teaching you about the world, teaching you about other people. My man says something about appropriation. You can look at it that way, but he's learning a lot about a culture that he wasn't privy to before. So I think just that's what hip hop is. It's about sharing the culture, showing people that it's okay to be themselves. This is me. I have my own identity. So I think those are the things that hip hop preaches is identity, individuality, but still being part of a big community. And as I said, it's still relatively new. So we still kind of working out the kinks with a lot of the stuff to me, you know, so.
There are many more chapters to come.
Yeah. This book is still being written on this. And we've only just begun. I mean, it's 50 years. We'll, 50 years from now, what will this look like? But that would be my pitch. I mean, Fidel said, you know, be true to yourself and that's what it's about.
Oh, Anthony Foster, Rob Dees Franklin, Fidel Verdine, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having us. It was fantastic.
Oh, this is Big Energy by Latto, who just won BET's Best Female Hip Hop Artist of the Year. We're going out on it. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.
Tell me how you want it. 3, 2, 1, and I'm on it. Feel good, don't it? Good. You in a bunny. I'ma bust it on the pole like honest. Aren't you being honest? Juicy, mini made, but can't do it one mini man. Not a side or a main. I'm the only one he entertain. Spending his mind in the bank. I like what I see. A boss like you need a boss like me. Daddy from the street, so he.